I got my boy Lance here, a good friend of mine from the 101st. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Michael Lance. I served with Pablo at the 101st, First Pablo 6. I'm 28, currently living in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Right, so tell us something about your early life, schools, hometown.
Man, well, I grew up in Las Vegas.
How was Vegas?
I mean, if you're a tourist, you'll have fun, but if you live here, I mean, it's like any other place. If you live like in New York, you're like, it's just New York. I live. But I mean, I went out of school here, high school, pretty much. I was born in California, but I don't know nothing about California.
How old were you when you moved out?
Say again?
How old were you when you moved out of California?
Man, I was probably like three. I don't even remember.
Oh, you haven't gone back since then?
Nah, I mean, I go visit once in a while, but like, I guess a vacation because I don't have family down there.
Okay, I see. How was school growing up?
I was doing pretty good until I got to high school. High school was pretty rough. I mean,
What made it rough?
it's not because of the people. Like, well, it depends. Like, the people around you, pretty fucked up. But I mean, I did kind of get into like a lifestyle really I was supposed to. Like, I used to do graffiti, and I was like, it kind of correlated with, like, gang activity, I guess. But I wouldn't really consider gang activity, if that makes sense.
What was it about like the graffiti lifestyle that caught your attention?
I don't know, mainly just drawing, to be honest.
Is
Get
it
getting
some way to express yourself?
pretty much, I mean, you join it to get like popular, you know, like, oh, this motherfucker's good. He knows how to draw, he knows how to tag. You're like, he's out on the street, you see his name everywhere. It's like, oh, I know that guy. Like, you know, things like that. But you know, I eventually stopped after like. I kept getting expelled from school. I got expelled like shit, four
Oh,
times.
really?
Yeah.
Why did he get caught doing it at school?
Yeah. Well, not necessarily. I never got caught. But here's the thing. I'm gonna tell you a little story, right? So, the first time I got expelled from school was in my freshman year. Only got caught up because someone wrote my tag name on a desk, like hella big ass letter with a big marker. And the funny thing is, someone that I had beef with snitched me out, saying that it was me. So I got the dean. I was talking to the dean, and he was like, "We already know it's you," and blah blah blah. And I was like, "I don't even know what you're talking about, bro." And he shows me a picture. And the funny thing, at that time, I was tagging Prey, like Pray. And whoever wrote my name, they wrote Prey as in like Prey. And I explained to them, I was like, "Bro, me." And I even showed them my tagging, like in my backpack. And I was like, "Bro, my name's spelled with an A, not an E."
And what was their
And
response
they're
to
like,
that?
"Oh, we don't care. It's just
Wow.
like," I was like, "Bro,
Oh, wow. It sounds like they
yeah,
need to
it
go back to
makes
school.
sense."
No, absolutely, absolutely. So you got expelled over that?
Yeah, I ended up going to opportunity school, and then you know the cycle starts over again. Off to
You said
another
a better
school.
opportunity school?
Say again.
Yeah, you said a better opportunity school?
You're breaking up.
You said like a better opportunity school.
Pretty
Like
much a behavior school.
a
Continuous
continuation
school.
school?
Yeah.
Okay, I got you. I got you. How was that compared to like normal high school?
Continuous school? Oh man, dude. You meet some people.
Really?
And there's like some there's like people that got caught up for like selling cocaine. There's like some kid that had like, in charge. Pretty much everyone there had like a court date.
Oh wow. You know? who was the craziest, like what was the craziest person that you met there? Like had like the craziest thing going on to like in their life or like why they were there.
There's this guy, some dude that got caught up slinging like a pound of cocaine.
Sheesh.
I didn't even know how it was out, to be honest.
And he didn't get any time or anything? He didn't get caught up? They just sent him, just expelled him and sent him to the continuation school?
Pretty much. Pretty sure he had a court date. But like, for the most part, most of the people are there, they're like, part of gangs, you know, like they're usually there for like fighting,
yeah,
things
absolutely.
Like that.
And
yeah,
so, like and, the graduation rate, what would you say is like how much, what do you, out of the whole, like your whole class, your whole, like everybody that was in your year would say that would actually graduate and not like end up like dropping out or anything like that?
I don't know, but the statistics not long ago, I think it's like a 1 out of 10 will graduate.
Wow.
Out of North Las Vegas, anyways.
That is insane.
Yeah, it's pretty low. I think if I remember right, Nevada ranked 49 worst school districts in the United States.
Really?
50 was Hawaii. And I think we even took the 50th spot at one point.
Really? Oh, that's
yeah.
Insane. What was the craziest thing that happened while you were attending that school?
Nothing too crazy, to be honest. I mean, you hear stories of like, but I never actually saw any of that. The most I ever see is probably like, you know, fights. But I mean, that's everywhere, right?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And
yeah.
Like aside from your school life, how was life just growing up in general?
Hello. Can you say
Yeah,
that
can
again?
You hear? Yeah, absolutely. So like aside from your school life, like how was life just growing up in general in North Las Vegas?
Yeah. It was decent. It has its up and downs.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was gonna ask, did you have any jobs prior? Any jobs during your teenage years?
So like at high school, my friend and his mom, they're like painting houses and like homes. So it's pretty much like foreclosed homes, right? And they were.
Yeah.
Clean them up. Usually people just leave like everything at their house, so you find like a bunch of things they left behind, as in like beds, couches,
okay.
Sometimes you even find like jewelry or like video games, things like that, you know. They used to collect that, and they used to like at like the flea market, you know, make a little side hustle of that. But their main priority was like cleaning up, and then they were like paint the houses and change a couple doorknobs, things like that, just to like resell it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I was helping out with, pretty much. That was a under the table kind of job. I only did that for like a couple months.
Did you ever find anything crazy while you were working there?
No, nothing too crazy, to be honest. I mean, most of it was just like trash, you know. People leave the trash and smell pretty bad. But
absolutely.
On that, now we didn't see like no dead animals or things like that. It's just like regular cleanup.
I got you 100%. Was that the only job that you had prior to the military?
No, and then I ended up working at Burger King.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that one time I showed you my skills at the barracks?
Absolutely. I've never seen anybody wrap a burger that fast in my life. I actually think I still have the video.
Yeah, I was just gonna tell you, you just sent me that video.
I got you. I'll definitely send it to you after this.
And you
Tell
have
us, how was your time there?
All right, so here's a crazy story on this one, right? All right, so I only worked there probably less than a year, 6 months maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember when I was getting out, I think it was like within my last month, there's this some doña, she was like in her 40s, almost hitting 50s. Well, she had like a boyfriend. And apparently she just didn't go to work one day. And so the manager called her, like, hey, whatever happened to her? Is like, oh, we're kind of suspecting that the husband killed her. I'm like, yo, are you for real? So apparently she died, and then the dude was like on the run. That dude, he ends up not getting caught, but I think like a week or two later, they find his body, like a self-inflicted gunshot wound.
Oh, wow.
He shot himself in the head at a Burger King parking lot.
Wow.
But it wasn't our Burger King.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was trying to do is probably shoot up the place and just like go out with a bang. But I think he went to like the wrong location.
Yeah.
And at that time, I was, at that time, I was kind of skeptical. So my brother was like in the Marines and he had guns. I was like, hey, let me borrow a gun in case I ever need to use it. So I was carrying it to work every day.
Yeah. No, I got you 100%. Did they ever find out if he was the reason why she passed away?
Yeah. Funny thing is, it's not until later, but like in 2017, like about the time that I was in Africa,
mm-hmm.
I was actually going through like the Las Vegas news, and apparently they found their body at Lake Mead.
And how far away is that from where you work?
Say again?
How far away was that from where you worked?
I can't hear you.
How far away was that from where you worked?
Can you say it again?
So can you hear me now?
Yeah.
So from where you worked, how far away was that?
From the thing?
Yeah.
I mean, Vegas is pretty small, so I'd say probably like 2 miles.
Oh, wow. So pretty much right down the road.
Yeah. You can pretty much drive through Vegas like in 20 minutes. It's like pretty small.
And I mean, aside from that, I mean, how was it just working in the fast food industry? I hear nothing but negative things, like from previous fast food workers that I've talked to. Just because the service is the worst.
Honestly, I liked it. I didn't have to talk to people. I didn't have to deal with people. My job was strictly cooking and, like, doing the restocking. So I would move boxes in the back and then do, like, night cleanings. And that's pretty much what I did.
So when you're trying to, like, apply for, like, a cooking position, like, do they just hire anyone or do you have to have, like, some, you know, like, some cooking experience or anything like that?
Oh, you don't need any experience. It's, like, really? So simple, dude. Yeah, because have you ever worked fast food?
No.
So the job's kind of easy. You just like throw burgers in the, or you just throw like fries in the grill and you just put a timer. And then the thing beeps and it tells you when it's done. The same thing with the burgers, you leave them like in the grill. It's like a conveyor belt grill. You just put like 8 burgers and then set a timer and you're done. And then you just remember the order how to make the burger.
Did you guys ever have any crazy customers?
No, I never. Well, I never had any, but I remember this one time where there's this dude telling one of our workers how to make a shake. Like it was his first time or something.
What did the worker say?
She was just like, all right, you want this shake? And you're like, yeah. And he's like, the dude was telling him, he's like, you even know how to make a shake? Yeah, I'm going to show you. I'm going to tell you. And he's like, I think she needs it. I don't think she needs help. Like, she's been doing this for, like, a good while now.
And what did he say? What did he say after that?
Nah, he just grabbed his shit and left, and that's it. But, like, overall crazy stories and, like, with customers, nah, I never really had to do any.
No, that's always a good thing. The last thing you need is somebody crazy coming up. I mean, I see all these videos floating around, and it's always has to, like, it always, like, I want to say, like, at least 8 out of 10 times, it's always at a fast food place where you see, like, people acting up, fighting.
Right, it's like, doing dude, all this people crazy just stuff. Trying to work, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, absolutely.
You don't want to deal with that. People just want to do their job and then go home.
So how much were you making on an hourly wage when you were working there?
Man, minimum wage. I think it was like $7.25 at that time.
How much?
I was
You say how much was the minimum wage at that time?
Yeah, I was making minimum wage. It was like $7.25 at the time.
So now, like, a controversial question is: all these fast food workers that I've read up on. On the internet, you know, social media.
Do they deserve it?
Do they deserve getting paid, let's say, $20 an hour? Like, does the job consist of that type of effort that they should be getting paid as somebody else that, like, for example, has a college degree or whatever the case may be?
No. There's no way. Right now, currently, I'm working in construction, like, between semesters, and I only make, like, $22. I mean, it's decent, but, like, think about it. Someone that's breaking their back, learning a trade, and they probably make, like, 22 or, like, maybe 28, high 30s. Mm-hmm. And you really think someone that does, like, the bare minimum, anyone could get that job? You really Absolutely. Think they should be making almost, like, $2 off from the guy that's out there working in the heat, out in the cold?
Yeah, that's a fair point. I definitely agree. How did the promotion potential look working fast food? Because I've seen people that have been working, let's say, as a manager position for like 20 years. Like, is it once you reach that, do you start making some decent money or?
Honestly, I don't know that much. I was expecting to get a raise like pretty soon when I was working there, and I asked them for a raise, and they said no. But the guy that's like one of the dudes that are manager, I think he was like about my age, probably like 20, 21. The dude was young, but I mean, he was probably working there for like 2-3 years.
Absolutely.
But I feel like there's really no way to climb that ladder because they already had like the people and no one was like leaving. Everyone was already stagnant there.
I got you 100%. So, like, so that was the last job that you had before you joined the military, correct?
Yeah, that was it.
So, what made you join the military? I understand you have a brother in the Marine Corps. Was he the reason why you decided to follow in his footsteps, per se, or was it something else?
That's like half of it. I mean, yeah, that was half of it. And then also, like, you just want to do something else, get out of your hometown and, like, experience something new, you know?
What made you join the Army over any other branch?
Well, I got out in high school, like, 2013. I was supposed to be 2012, but, you know, it's kind of did some bad decisions. I was able to get my college or my high school degree. So I had to go to an adult school and I had to get my degree there. And at that time, I'm not sure if they ever changed it, but if you had like an adult high school degree, you couldn't join the Marines, Air Force, or the Navy.
Really?
Yeah. And the only people that would take me in was the Army. Then again, to be honest, I wouldn't even have picked any other branch.
What made you come in as an 11 Bravo?
What made me do it? My brother was infantry, and at that time he deployed, so I was like, maybe that sounds like something I want to experience. You know, like, I don't know. I'm not sure if it's just me or everybody else, but I always wanted to know how war was like. You know, it's like there's no they get experience war unless you live like in a third world country that had the constant wars.
Absolutely.
But like if you're like always home at school and you never know what's out on the outside, you're never gonna experience it. So yeah, I was no, like, absolutely. You know, that's something that I want to experience. It's like, but because you know, by the time I was in 2015 or 2020, nothing ever really went down.
How's basic training for you?
Basic training, oh man. People make it seem like it's hard. To be honest, it was pretty. I think it was pretty easy. You know, I think I just kept under the radar. I think that's what it really was. Because it's like, you know, you hear drill sergeant is like, if you want to make it easy, just don't make it known that you're the fuck up. And yeah, that's absolutely. What I did. So I was like, you know, I fucked up a couple times, but it's not enough for them to remember my name.
Mm-hmm. Well, what was the craziest thing that you did that you would say you messed up on?
Well, I remember, well, I feel like I messed up, but I remember there's one time where people were changing into like cold weather gear. I just decided to just start changing out in the open. And the drill sergeant was like, yo, what the fuck you doing? Like, if there's a girl here, they'll fucking catch you for like sexual harassment. I'm like,
no,
and
no,
I just looked around. Yeah, like out in the open, just like, because it was pretty cold. And I was like, I wasn't going to wait. There's like a whole line of like, I don't know, man, like 20, 30, 40 people waiting to change. And I was like, I'm just going to do it. And I just started changing right there, you know?
And when you say out in the open, where exactly is that at? Like, is it in the bay or is it in, like, where were you guys at when this happened?
It was at a range.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, it was like pretty much no one out there except the guys. So I was like, you know what? These dudes already see me naked. I mean, what's not going to hurt them, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, you know, in the military, I mean, you know, especially when you're deployed, I mean, you're going to be living in a tent full of, what, 12 to 20 people. You know, see you every day.
Yeah. You know what? To be honest, I was kind of scared because, well, my drill sergeant, he was like a special forces dude. And man, this guy used to fuck us up. Like, he used to smoke us like, it was like between 1800 until like 2. And we had to wake up like at 6. So we only had like 4 hours of sleep. But I remember he told me, he was like, for that, when we get back to the bay, I'm gonna fuck you up. And we had like a scribe. I'm not sure if you guys have those. Did you guys have those?
No, but I've heard of those.
So it's pretty much someone that writes up the names of the people that fuck up or like something to remind the group. And the drill sergeant would use them. He was like, hey, scribe, write down this guy's name for you to remember to fuck me up. And
no, for you guys, was the scribe, was that somebody that was already in the military or like that wasn't going through basic or was it one of like
no, it was someone that's going through basic with us, but okay. He was more like the drill sergeant's runner up, and he would like just pretty much write down people's names and like things like that just to keep note of.
Because I heard of scribes before, but I always heard like, you know, like they're like the first ones like during Fight Club that get chosen to throw hands, you know.
I don't like that. He's just right thing on paper, and that's it.
That was his whole job. And it down. Oh. Man, I was shitless, dude. I was like, man, I didn't even want to go to the bay because this guy's going to kill me.
No, like for us, we had this thing when I was going through. They used to say like they used to make the wall sweat, and like I didn't know what it was at the time, but it turns out it's just smoking everybody like nonstop for hours at a time to the point that the walls literally started sweating. You can see the ceiling tiles were literally warped. Like, was that the case with you guys? Like, you guys walk in there, see the ceiling tiles, they're like about to fall off because there's so much condensation has built up on them that they're just ready to like fall off.
I don't think we had it that bad, but to some extent, yeah, we did. I mean, it wasn't the best barracks. You probably have, like, 10,000 people run through the barracks, you know what I'm saying?
Where did you go to basic training? Like what unit?
254. Delta 254.
And you guys weren't the ones in the trailers, were you?
No, we were the ones on top of the hill. Not 150. That was the other hill.
How was that hill? Were you guys, was that the one where they had to like literally run down and up that hill like before and after like chow? Was that you guys? It was like walking towards the range. Like once you got to like the range, is that?
No, that was 150th.
Okay.
I think that was 150. No, we were the other hill, the green hill, not the rocky one.
Oh, okay.
Stories about people too.
Yeah, I would always look at them. Like, we'd go to the ranges, and I'd just be seeing them run up and down. And, like, they're just on, just chewing them out. I was like, man, you know, at least we're not those guys.
Right? yeah, I remember seeing them dudes.
What was the craziest thing that happened? I mean, aside from, like, you know, like, having a scribe or anything, like, did you guys ever get, like, in trouble as a platoon company or anything like that?
Not collectively, but almost like towards the end of the cycle, probably like the last month, we had like a group of probably like four. They beat up this one kid with socks, and they put like locks in them.
Good old sock and lock party.
Yeah. They beat the kid up.
Now, was it the scribe that was on the receiving end?
Nah. The scribe was doing his job, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But the kid they beat up, he was one of the kids that didn't want to go through basic training anymore. He kind of quit at the beginning of the cycle. Mm-hmm. And he was just like, I don't know. He's like, somewhere else.
Yeah.
Back. But they'll be separated from the group. They pretty much still go through the same cycle as you do, you know? They still drive you to all that other stuff.
Yeah.
So they're pretty much just tagging along, but without, if we're getting smoked, they're just chilling, just watching you.
Wow.
But the reason why
they're pretty much as civilians, right? I mean,
pretty much. But I think the reason why they beat them up is because we would still get punished from them. Like, uh-huh. They fucked up.
Really?
Yeah.
And now, and how many people? Go ahead.
How many people what?
Oh, I was going to ask, how many people did you guys have, like, wash out?
I know we started out with a amount, probably, like, 45, somewhere around there. And I say probably, like, less than half passed.
Wow.
We had a good washout rate.
Well, I mean, it's better to keep the quality soldiers than have a large quantity of bad ones, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
And so, like, fast forwarding a little bit, when you found out that you were going to the 101st, I mean, do you know anything about that unit? Or were you just like, you know, like, oh, I'm just going to Kentucky?
Yeah, I was just going to Kentucky. Honestly, I don't really know much like war history or like any kind of military history. Like, yeah, I watched like war movies. Like, remembering units was never really like, oh, this unit by heart, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
So when I said I just got to 101st, be like, all right, I'm just going to Kentucky.
So when you got but there, that, and you know, go ahead.
No, but you know, when you get unit, people like hype up the unit as like, oh, we did this in World War II. And it's like, that, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, that is a very good unit, the first 506. It's something to be proud of. You know, it's like, you're part of it now. You're part of that brotherhood
of the history. So when you're going through Cal Sioux, that's the reception for those who don't know. And they told you, you know, like division standard, you know, like for PT score is like a 270, you know, you like you're 4x36, like, and you told your buddies that were going to another units, like, did they say, like, oh man, that's crazy? Or did they say, oh, you know, like, this is the same thing over here?
Not for every other unit. I think some units only like a 240 standard, right? I think it was almost like a 200.
No, absolutely, because I mean, from my experience, like when I got to the 101st, like the first thing we did was learn how to climb ropes. There's ropes everywhere in Fort Campbell, and I'm not talking about small ropes. These ropes are, you know, like they're decent, and like for us, we'd have to climb them before breakfast, lunch, and dinner chow. And then we actually did PT. Like my buddies, for example, that went to Fort Hood, they're like, yeah, we don't do PT in while we're in processing. Meanwhile, we were doing 4 to 5 mile runs every morning.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then how was your time as a junior enlisted?
I think I liked it. It wasn't bad. I had some. I feel like when you're like a lower enlisted, you can really see what's wrong with the army, because you see some pretty good leaders, and then you know bad leaders. So it's like, so you see a lot more than you would like when you're higher up. You really don't see it. I mean, you still do, but not as much.
Absolutely. What up? What duty positions did you serve as while you were at lower enlisted?
Lower enlisted, gunner or AG. Mm-hmm. And then later on, I became a machine gunner when I was pretty much an E4 by then. And then I actually counted as a team leader for the squad. You know, but people say, like, that's not a position. You just part of the squad. Because you guys only have one squad.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, though, I mean, weapons squads carrying how much, what, more than 100 pounds on their backs? Well, the guy that's saying that's only carrying an assault pack with MREs and snacks, right?
Right. And
what was there you go. What was the roughest time as a in weapons squad? Say, like, you guys were carrying the most weight or anything.
I remember there was one time we went to White Sands. Mm-hmm. I think that was in the first year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was probably within the first year. Actually, I got a worse one. JROTC.
Mm-hmm.
Worst time of my life. So, carrying, like, probably, like, 400 or 500 rounds.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the duration, I think my gunner ends up getting killed, so I ended up carrying the machine plus all the rounds.
So,
and it helped me out. I was carrying the barrel, the spare barrel, the tripod, the rounds, and the gun.
Because what, and most of the time, 9 times out of 10, right? At least in the units that I've been, you don't have an AB. It's just your AG and your gunner, right? So if your gunner goes down or if your AG goes down, then you're carrying that other person's weight, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
So go ahead.
So now you're carrying, like, load compared to everybody else. I mean, plus, think about it. You're still carrying all the necessary things you need to survive JRT. Your wet weather gear and all the extra stuff, you know what I'm saying, 515.
Absolutely, 100%. So for those that don't know what JRTC is, can you give them an explanation?
Joint Readiness Training Center.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty much, you go there when they're about a boy. So it's pretty much like a 30-day event. But, of course, you have, like, a couple of days in the beginning. Get ready to prepare. And then you're out, like, 4 or 5 days on the field straight. And then you go back to the Cobb. You resupply, like, less than a day. your resupply, your shower, things like that. I get like 6 hours of sleep.
And where's this located at?
Louisiana.
Beautiful Louisiana. So how was the weather there?
Depends. I think the like first
your,
time I
during your yeah. Go ahead.
It was very humid. It was. I wouldn't say it's hot because I'm kind of used to the hot because I live in Nevada. Mm-hmm. But the humidity is like, yeah, something else. If you don't drink water, you will be hydrated.
So anyone that's going to any upcoming JRTC events, what would be the best advice that you would give them as somebody that's been there and done that?
Advice? Man, really not to prep you for it. You can be fit and you can be healthy, but by the end of that, you won't be.
No, absolutely, absolutely. And then just coming up in the ranks, what would you give anybody, any junior enlisted that's coming up in the ranks? What advice would you give them? Like I said, to somebody that's been there and done that.
The best advice, man, just pretty straightforward, is just don't kiss ass.
There you go, 100%.
Yeah.
I 100% agree with that. Now, moving on forward to your NCO time in the military, how was that like? Tell us a little bit about it.
My NCO experience was kind of different, I guess, per se, from everybody else, because when I first became NCO, I got out of Scouts. When I was getting out of Scouts, well, I actually went to a promotion board when I was, and then when they found out that I passed a promotion board, they take me out the next day. Because they said they have any NCO.
And now, for those listening that don't know what Scouts are, because there's also 19 Deltas that are Cavalry Scouts. Now, would you say those are the two same things, that they do just as much as you guys, or?
I think it's the same concept. Mm-hmm. It just, Scouts were kind of recon for, they would do recon for the, what is it, for the battalion?
Yeah.
They'd do like battalions. And then if you go to like the Cav Scout and the Brigade, they'll do scouting for the Brigade, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Now, the ones that I've seen, the night units, they have Humvees and everything like that, you know, like they actually have vehicles. Do you guys have vehicles or?
Yeah, we have vehicles, but we wouldn't use them like as in a tactical sense. Like we wouldn't be driving everywhere. They, for the most part, they would just swim through helicopters and then they would just like drop you off and then you're just walking. You do that for like a couple of days. Honestly, Scott, my favorite time in the military.
And well, I forgot to bring up, you also went to aerosol school, correct?
Say again?
I forgot to bring up. You also went through aerosol school, correct?
Join. I think I had to wait like 6 months before I had to do it. Because at the time when I first got there, there was a guy that dying from taking a pre-workout on the 12-mile ruck. And then they made it.
Absolutely.
They made it a requirement that you'd be able to pass the 12-mile and then do, like,
so, like, and the prerequisites, correct?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, you had to do, like, a prerequisite before getting sent to aerosol.
And is aerosol school as hard as they make it out to seem?
Honestly, I think if you go by yourself, I think it might be a little bit difficult. But when I had a buddy of mine that went with me, Blackburn. Mm-hmm. So me and Blackburn were like pretty much we kind of just carry each other, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, forgot something, you ask him, and he forgot something.
Absolutely.
But I feel like if you were to go by yourself, I think it might be.
Especially, like, if you're trying to find, like, information on, like, how is the course, how is this, or what do I need? And they're like, oh, I don't know, I forgot. I already went there, like, 2 years ago.
Right, right. To be honest, I forgot all that knowledge by, like, the second year. It's like, you know, you don't use it often, and then when mm-hmm. you do it, you always have the book. And the book Absolutely. Just kind of reminds me, like, oh, I know what to do now.
And now, yeah, I mean, going back to the NCO experience, so when you got moved down to the company, I mean, how was that? Like, how was that from, like, the change of pace from being in the scout platoon?
More busy because, I mean, you usually get to the line and then you get pretty much immediately assigned a team. You know, now you have to, like, take care of three guys. Their main responsibilities. From everything from, like, outside of the Army. So pretty much every good and bad decision they make, it falls on you.
Now, did you have any soldiers that ever made any crazy decisions, or were you one of the blessed sergeants that always had good soldiers?
Well, like I said, when I first got there, I was kind of upset. That's kind of crazy. Out scouts, I immediately went to BLC, like, right here. And when I got back to my,
as soon as I got out of scouts, I ended up going to BLC. And I didn't really know the guys I was going to work with, because then when I eventually got back, they were already at JRTC. And so assigned my group. I was like guys. Eventually, like, midway, they took me out of my position. I ended up being part of the gun crew. So I mean, because they pretty much knew that I had experience with, like, the machine gun. Like, hey, we should make this guy AG. I mean, he knows what he's doing. So that's what I ended duration JRTC, and when I got back, I was told that my performance went up to par with the other NCOs. So Mitch told me that I would be part of headquarters. So when I was in headquarters, it's pretty much essentially I was ended up being a team leader, but for, like, the headquarters personnel. So responsible for, like, the things that do and don't supply the arms room, and then pretty much is, like, administrative things.
I mean, I feel like you, at the end of the day, I mean, you gain a lot more. You gain a better skill set in a way.
For, oh, yeah,
definitely. Civilian jobs than just,
yeah, definitely. You know, like,
going out there and kicking doors down. I mean, there's only so many jobs you could do with that.
Right.
In the outside world. What was your fondest time of like pre-Iraq, like being back in garrison?
I don't know. To be honest, it was pretty long when I got back, because, you know, I didn't really have family to visit me when I got gone for 9 months, and then you just get there, and then by the time I already, like, I think I was, like, 3 months. So the last 3 months out, everyone went on leave, like, post-deployment leave. And then around that time, they also had December leave, so they had leave. So okay, within
and then last, the post-deployment leave is not charged, right?
No, they didn't charge it. I know they said they were, but they never took off the days. So I was, like, thankful for that, because it was more back when I was getting out.
Yeah, absolutely. How's your time in Iraq?
Okay.
Yep, I got you. Do you hear me? Can you still hear me?
Yeah, yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah. I got you. I got you. Like I was saying, like, how was Iraq?
Not the kind of deployment I was expecting. You know, I was kind of go guns blazing, but not too crazy. But I still enjoy the time because I had plenty of. I was working out like two times a day. So much free time. You do like, what was it? Like 8 hour shift of tower guard, sleep, and then just redo it again. I was part of headquarters at that time. I was more in charge of like monitoring radios and watching like the camera surveillance, do like quick surveillance outs. Base. That sums it down to you.
And now, which deployment would you say you enjoy the most? Was it your Iraq deployment or your Africa deployment?
I enjoy both, but to be honest, the Africa one was more fun. Actually, went out.
Mm-hmm. So, and then the Iraq one, they were just. Stay inside of the base the whole time, inside the fob?
We had platoons go out, like, every once in a while just to, like, look on the outside or, like, train like, the Iraqi army.
Uh-huh.
Teach them how to use some of our weapon systems. But, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Now, what kind of weapons did the Iraqis have? Did they ever let you guys train on their weapons?
They had like the things that you would probably hear, like the I think they had like discos.
Okay.
They had like anything. Like, I think they had like motor tubes too. I think I trained them how to use it as well. But yeah, they had like just Soviet Russian weapon system type deal.
Okay, yeah, so they're still not cut up.
Yeah, I mean they have vehicles, but it was more like the Helixes, things like that.
Yeah, how was the culture? Did you get to experience any of the culture out there?
Not as much as I did, but we had like the locals work for the base, and they make us food. Man, the food was good.
How was the food? What kind of food was it?
I forget the name, but it was pretty much like lamb, and it would be like rice, and yeah, it'd be like lamb and rice.
Yeah.
And
okay.
Honestly, I go to like Mediterranean restaurants trying to find that same flavor. Nothing compares to
that. Oh, was yeah, nothing that was like
so good. It's so good, dude. I can't even find that like on the States.
what would you say was your fondest memory of Iraq? I don't know if I already asked that.
There's really nothing that sticks out, to be honest, but just being like in zombie mode, it's just like it's all repetitive. You do tower guard, you eat, and that's pretty much it.
Absolutely. Now I know we might have jumped over it. Your African deployment. How was that? Was that I know you said you got out a lot more than compared to Iraq, but like overall, like, do you have any fond memories of that time?
Yeah, we actually had a couple activities going on there. You know, so I was
fun.
You remember there was one time when we did the Pacer?
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Which is like, you pretty much set an audio and the audio tells you run back and forth. It's something that a lot of high school, middle school kids did.
Mm-hmm.
I never experienced that until Africa. So I didn't even knew what that was. But I remember I ended up in third place, right? That motorman, I forget his name, and then Wellington.
And then
I remember.
Like how long did that pay?
So, up like after like a couple, and that was pretty much it for me. I was like, yeah, I can't do this anymore.
No, absolutely, absolutely. What about the what kind of like when you went out and got to see like the culture, like what's your fondest memory of that?
Yeah, I think it's just an eye opener, to be honest. Because it's like when you go out, it's not really like how you know America is. You know what I'm saying? Like
mm-hmm.
when you drive through the roads, they have they didn't really have developed roads. They didn't have like asphalt. They hardly had any concrete roads or like any concrete pathway. You go to the bazaars and they have like there and all the flies are like chewing on it. But you get closer to like the main city, you see like some very big houses. They're beautiful, don't get me wrong, but the rest of like the roads and all that, they're all pretty messed mm-hmm. up. But I mean, everyone had like phone signals. There's still cars, you know. It was getting more modernized slowly and slowly. They didn't have gas pumps. Oh, not any that I saw, but they had like they would have guys in the corners like 1 liter bottles, and they have like gas and you have to pull up and you buy it by the liter.
Absolutely. And now as somebody that's been to Iraq, Africa, like, what would you say to someone that's never been outside of the U.S. and been to a country like that? Like, what would you tell them?
I say it's pretty. You should go out there and explore. You know, get a different perspective of what life is. And
like for someone that's never been outside of the U.S., especially those ones who are like, you know, like this. I hate this country. Whatever, you know, like. Et cetera, et cetera. What would you tell them as somebody that's been to Iraq, Africa?
Yeah, just tell them to let them know that they have life pretty good. I mean, when you actually think about it, people here are kind of respectful way, but people are like babied. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. People have more freedom and more access to material. Like they have they have things like that. But when you go out to another country that's like out of your zone, things are different laws, the way people act is completely different from what you're doing.
Now, how did it feel coming back from deployment, either Iraq or Africa? Like, how did it feel coming back to the States?
No, honestly, when you find out that you're about to leave, you're, like, so excited. And then when you actually get back, you're like, man, this sucks. It's like, you know, the first thing you do is, like, go to McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's pretty much it. Like, I remember when I got back. And like I said, you know, there's no one to support me. So I just got to my first thing I did was call up my back early. Mm-hmm. And I had to go buy clothes because all my things packed away somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So I had to change of clothes because all I had was uniforms and that's it. And then to go eat somewhere. And then after I slept in the barracks, and that was day one of being back
in the state. So you said he had like 3 months remaining by the time you got back?
Yeah, I only had 3 months. So, like I said, people had leave back to back. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, I was already like in my out process. So I was already starting like SFL TAP, which is the people that help out to the civilian side. Mm-hmm. And then, getting all my medical records straight before I left as much as possible. And pretty much my day-to-day for the past 3 months was just, like, so boring. So I just go work. And, people, how it is. People always looking for you, like, hey, where you at? Like, point, man, I'm trying to get out already.
No, absolutely. So when during your career did you decide, okay, I'm done, I'm getting out?
Probably in Africa.
And what made you, like, was there like, oh, I just feel like there's more opportunities out in the civilian world, or was there any?
Don't get me wrong, there's like a very good opportunity, because I mean they pay for your food. The pay is not that good, but like I just mentioned, they pay for
and medical, all that good stuff, right?
Yeah, and then you got your homies. You could chill with them any other day. It's like two steps down the hallway, and you're already talking to them. But I mean, they provide everything for you. Everything's already there. Yeah, probably infantry, you don't really gain a very useful trade out in the civilian world. Mm-hmm. But it's still a trade that you probably won't learn anywhere else.
Now, what is some leadership advice that you would give to any NCOs, like brand new NCOs or any NCOs that are listening to this?
I think it's just try to take care of the small.
Absolutely. You take care of the small fish, they'll take care of you in the long run, right?
Right. It'll take you a long way.
And then for any infantryman listening to this, what advice would you give them, like, for them transitioning out of the army / infantry?
Like out to the civilian side?
Yes.
Have a plan. Here's how I summed it up. Have a plan a year out. Like, as long as you have everything planned out, like, let's be honest, everything you have planned out is not going to work, but you have a general idea you want to do. Another thing is save money. I know some people say probably save up like 2-3 months that you could survive on. I would go 6 months, at least half a year. I think enough to find a job, and then the other 3 as a buffer in case you don't.
Absolutely. That's actually really good advice. Now, backtracking to the younger version of you, private version of you, what advice would you give him?
Myself? Yes. Man. Should definitely try harder. Yeah. It was, because, I try to be the best person that I could, but I think I could have done a lot better. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it really comes when you're in the army, you're always exhausted. You have like you just don't feel like doing much of anything, to be honest. And, you know, but I still had motivation, but like, you know what, I'm gonna try to do Ranger school. Like, you know, I want to here for myself, you know, exceed, be better than your peers, negative way, but like just try and be you. So it just comes down to just try harder.
Absolutely. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's really solid advice. Now in the civilian world, but any hobbies? You told me you were doing construction, right?
Yeah. So right now, currently, I only work between semesters. So that's probably like a month and a half in between. But also, like, between semesters, I also travel. This last time around, I went back to Colorado. Mm-hmm. And it goes back to one of my hobbies, which is hiking. I went to go hike Mount Albert, which is the highest point in Colorado. Unfortunately, I didn't, because I'm not really good at to the elevation. So I was only off by like 2 miles, I believe. A mile going up and a mile coming. It was 11 miles total. I only did like 9.
Okay. I mean, that's something. I mean, obviously you got to acclimate yourself, because I mean, Colorado's up there, right?
Yeah. It was pretty crazy. We did like at 0-3.
Mm-hmm.
The temperature was like -1. And, you know, we had our cold gear, and we probably hiked like 4 miles going up. And at one point, it's not that we can't make it. I could probably make it. Mm-hmm. But we're already done, and then I was almost out of water. So I was like, you know what? I really don't like quitting, but
mm-hmm.
there's a point. Like, all right, maybe this isn't for me right now, but I'm okay.
And was that your first time?
In Colorado, no. I've done a couple hikes, 13,000 feet in elevation. I even did Mount Sherman, which I believe is like a 4.
Mm-hmm.
That one too. One just hard. I don't know. It was like a 5 gain in elevation. It wasn't really a factor, but I think set up, it was snowing, so every time you would step, it's like you'd be 2 feet deep in snow, and you had to lunge out of it.
Oh yeah, so that's just
yeah, but. Rocky terrain, my legs were smoked already. I can't.
Oh, yeah. My legs to the snow. I mean, that's definitely another workout on its own.
And yeah, it was fun. I'm glad I'll eventually get back to it. Or if anything, I'll probably do something better, something bigger. But in the meantime, back on the train up.
What do you do to train up for that?
Yeah,
like focus on your cardio or leg strength.
Yeah, I do. I do a lot of running. I do. I get used to that weight. Make one less variable, you won't make it. Mm-hmm. So I carry like, you know, it's not crazy, because when you're hiking, compared to the military, you're carrying like 80 pounds. Here, you only really need 35 to 40 pounds. So that's what I carry. Sometimes I carry 50. For the train ups, like a 35-pound rug, I don't feel nothing. It's just like walking. And then, yeah,
absolutely.
Before I left to Colorado, I actually lost 20 pounds. You know, make that as well, because I was like at 215. I'm like at 195 now. Part of my train up is probably to losing pounds and probably get down to like 170.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I'd be able to be moving quicker instead of carrying that extra weight that's not muscle.
Which, I mean, starts making a difference once you start moving in a distance, right?
Yeah. I mean, definitely paid off. Like, recently, a 3-mile run. When I was, like, 3-mile run, pretty difficult for me. But, you know, I haven't ran, like, in two. I ran that 3-mile like a breeze.
Absolutely. And now, what are you going to school for?
Right. A small community college at CSN here in Las Vegas. Right now, I'm trying to get into science. Doing classes right now. I'm doing calculus and one. But you know, associates, I plan to go to university. I'm still debating whether here or somewhere else. But the overall goal is to get a bachelor's in electrical engineering and hopefully go into a master's.
And now, is the military, does the GI Bill still pay for that, or?
Currently, no, I'm not the GI Bill. I kind of let FAFSA pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm waiting until I actually end up in university to start using it. So I have more time with it for more harder classes.
Absolutely. Now, now, would you do it all over again when it comes to your time in the, like, from day one that you decided to join the military to the last day?
I don't regret it. If anything, I'm very thankful that I joined the military. I think it really was like, you gain a real perspective with the people you are with, because you talk to people with all different walks in life and changes your view, and just being deployed changes your perspective more, like you learn about different cultures and all that. And even when you get out, the military still helps you. You know, it looks it looks good on your resume, and then people look at you as like, this guy's disciplined. He knows what he wants. And then overall, it changes your character. Is like, you know, as much as you might notice or you might not, but it changes you in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
Stay more disciplined. Like, you know what you want in life now.
Now, how is it dealing with the civilian, like just civilians in general?
No, honestly, I never had a problem. Like, I think I wouldn't say my transition was smooth, because when I got out is when like COVID started.
Mm-hmm.
So like at the worst time.
Oh yeah.
So, but luckily, when I got out, my brother was starting a company, and mm-hmm. sitting in that, put a good some lump of money and be. And when we first started working, we didn't have a lot. In like 2 or 3 days for like 2 or 3 hours, but because mostly everything was pretty much closed, and working construction, I mean, you always need construction. It doesn't matter if there's a.
Now that we come to the end, I mean, is there anywhere that people could get a hold of you? They want to reach you or anything like that?
Yeah, they could reach me at my Instagram, sketch702. Is that
with a Zulu Zira or a Zulu?
Is a Zulu Kilo Echo Charlie Hotel 702. If you can't find me, my name is Michael Lanz, MichaelLanz, and you can find me on Facebook as well.
All right. And now to close this up, I mean, it's really been great having you here, learning about things you've done prior and during and after the military. Now, if you would want to live, if you want to leave these listeners with one last thing to remember you by, what would you tell them? What advice would you give them?
Be the best fucking person to be. I'll leave it at that.
Can't say it better myself. Well, brother, really appreciate you coming on. Really appreciate you taking the time out of your day. It's always a good time talking to you, man. Hopefully I can get you back on here. Hopefully I can resolve these connection issues. But, I mean, other than that, I appreciate everything, brother. Hope to see you again.
Okay. Pleasure being here, man. I love you.
Love you too, brother.
Thank you.
All right, man.
All right, bye.